Hi, this is David Kay, and you're listening to Altered Geek. Geek.
Get altered, get geeky, it's a wild ride. Join the discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Altered Geek Podcast, remember the name.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me in this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
Well, 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 we are back.
Well, 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 what do we have here? Yes.
Lots of stuff that has nothing to do with robots or robots.
No, it does not.
Robears.
It has to do with artificial robots, but.
No. No.
Oh, wait. No, it doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't.
We do have multiple stories, though, between streamer ads, Instagram stuff, TV, and then just technology stuff, and you know, everything that's old is new again.
Of course, because that's the way it should be.
So I can't remember if we talked about this or not on the last one, but I remember this one made enough of an impact on me. I was like, we got to discuss this one about California nixing noisy streamer ads.
Yeah.
Let's face it, when we're watching something streaming, most of the time the volume is way louder on the ads. So if like you're watching Tubi or you're watching, you know, any of the other services with ads, like Prime Video. This is one I commend state governments for.
Yeah, 100%.
Because they're, and I get why they do it. Like, the companies do it on purpose because it's a shock value. It gets you to pay attention when you're otherwise tuned out. But I mean, I've always just adopted the thing from the 90s of where you hit the mute button.
Yep.
And just walk away. And then you come back, and if you miss a couple minutes, you miss a couple minutes. Granted, you could just rewind, but
yeah,
it wasn't like live TV where you know.
Yeah.
So what's beautiful about this is that they're saying like streaming services like Netflix, Hulu, Prime Video will be forced to maintain consistent audio levels throughout their entertainment programming, including ad breaks, by July 2026.
Good.
And it's modeled after a 2010 act that barred traditional TV and cable from airing excessively loud, often startling ads. And given that California's got a huge footprint in the entertainment industry, it'll probably become a nationwide standard, which honestly, good. I'm all for.
Yeah.
They passed the CALM Act in 2010, and it caps the ad volume on cable and broadcast, but didn't apply to streaming because it really wasn't a thing at that time. I mean, it was still in its infancy.
Yeah. So here's my thing with this is that I don't think the broadcast, like, okay. I shouldn't have to adjust my volume because your broadcast is too loud or too soft. If you don't have your volume leveled for the broadcast to be reached to whatever satellite and then shot back down through my antenna, yes, I know I'm talking in old technology terms here, folks, but you get the point. Like, I shouldn't have to turn my volume down to 5 and then turn it all the way back up to 25. When commercials, no commercials, because I'm going to bring something else up here in a second, but good. I love this. This is great. This is awesome. Good for them. 100%. Let's go. Let's do it. Now, here's what I wish would happen. The people that own Forensic Files, the company FilmRise, I am a subscriber to their YouTube channel, because I use their direct playlist on YouTube for Forensic Files, because I basically fall asleep to true crime. Don't ask me how, folks. It's a thing. I've mentioned it on this show before. It's not because it's death and murder. It's because it's the sound of Peter Thomas's voice, the narrator. Peter Thomas passed away a couple of years ago. He's 91 years old, but he's one of those people that has one of those voices. This is just a soothing voice, even when he's talking about somebody killing somebody else by, you know, antifreeze or something, or, you know, using a wood chipper or something. It's just a thing. Okay. But the problem I have is on YouTube, on my TV, and even on the computer, the film, the broadcast, the masters for Forensic Files are not volume leveled. So some episodes are either too loud or too soft. And the problem is what isn't leveled is the audio in the stuff, where sometimes Peter's voice will be too soft, and it's not his performance. It's the volume of his voice. Somebody did something wrong when they did that production. And I don't know if it could ever be fixed, but yes, this California new thing here for 2026, or hopefully by 2026, that all the streamers will have consistent volume, because nobody wants to get woken up by a Cialis ad at 3 a.m. watching Netflix.
I guess earlier this year, the Streaming Innovation Alliance, which
never heard of that.
Well, it's because it sounds like a STD. its members include Disney, Netflix, Paramount Plus, and Peacock, who urged the FCC to refrain from regulating audio levels on streaming platforms, because they argue that streaming services rely on third-party ad networks for dynamically inserted ads, making it unworkable. But that's not reality, because it's not challenging to normalize audio. Even when streaming services rely on third-party ad networks for dynamically inserted ads, it could just be programmatic that it levels to a certain level when it's playing.
Yeah.
Or you force the files that are sent in to be of a certain normalization.
Yeah. Yep.
It's not a difficult decision.
Yep.
But I'm all for it.
Me too.
Yep. I hate the fact that, I mean, I get annoyed when I watch a streaming platform in general, and I'm watching a TV or movie, and the audio levels, even in the program, are out of whack.
Oh,
like it grates on my ear, because I'm like, oh, I can't hear them, but I can hear the crappy music that's being played over top.
You know why they do that now, right? These days, why they've done it for the last
Nolan.
15 years. No, okay, well, yes, there's Mr. Nolan since 2008, yes, but... Okay, we could always blame the Dark Knight.
I'm blaming him, because he's like, oh, you don't need to understand. It's like, that's why we had, whoa, Batman. You're a
douchebag. Ladies and gentlemen, you've just heard a preview of what Studio 2009 episode 200 is going to sound like.
Welcome to the studio.
That's right.
Batman.
That's right. But... Oh, the reason what I was going to say was they want you to turn on the closed caption. They want you to read your flipping screen. That's why they screw up the audio levels. So you have to read your flipping. I'm not reading the screen. I'll turn that all the way up to 100 if I can't hear it.
So I've also figured out Netflix defaults to surround sound.
Okay.
Instead of 2.1.
Oh,
so you might want to check those settings too when you're watching. You have to do it when you're in a program, though, and then it kind of defaults. Yeah. But I found that funny that they do that, and I was like, oh, so that's why the audio sounds like crap, and it's not like on one track, it's like on 50.
It's on 50 tracks, because they assume you're rich enough and powerful enough to have a 7-speaker surround sound system in your one bedroom apartment in the middle of bum freak northern Indiana.
I mean, 90% of the time I'm watching crap on my television in my room, you know, on in my living room or on my phone or on my laptop. I don't have surround, nor do I care. And I mean, additionally, so I'm older, so I there's a lot of times I don't turn the volume up, and I will, like, if somebody else is sleeping around or, you know, like just passed out, and I'm like, I don't want to be noisy and have the, you know, the the screen as loud as possible.
Yeah.
So I'll turn on captions, and often I'll just read the captions while I'm watching it. But I also notice that you also don't miss the inconsistencies in the video and the visual side, because you're staring at the text, which I think is the thing that they want.
Yeah. They want you to stare at the text. They want you to read your screen.
Well, they don't want you to realize that there's things jacked up in the video. So,
yeah. Well, that too.
But that aside, moving on to the Instagrams.
Yes, the Instagrams. I found this story, I think. I think I brought this to you
because I think you did.
I'm on Instagram a lot, and I don't follow, obviously. But I saw somebody else post it on Instagram, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. So Instagram unveils new PG-13 rating. This was a story on LinkedIn done by John Tomas, editor at LinkedIn News. This was done, was updated a week ago. With parents and lawmakers scrutinizing both social media and AI chatbots for their potential harm, good, please do that, parents. Instagram on Tuesday announced it will adopt the film industry's PG-13 rating system. The change slated to roll out this year will include interactions with the platform's chatbots and limit exposure to profanity, mild violence, and partial nudity. Also, accounts that share, I can't read the rest of this, share age-inappropriate material like links to alcohol won't appear in teens' feeds. Meanwhile, Spotify announced that parents in the U.S. will be able to manage the accounts of their preteens. So yeah, this is the whole thing. And Director of Safety and Policy at Meta, David Miles, says, Instagram teen accounts will be guided by a PG-13 ratings. Today, we are announcing that Instagram teen accounts will be guided by PG-13 movie ratings. By default, this means that the teens will see content on Instagram that's similar to what they'd see in a PG-13 movie. Teens under 18 will be automatically placed into an updated 13-plus setting, and they won't be able to opt out without a parent's permission. And because we know families are different, we also introducing a new stricter setting for parents who prefer a more restrictive experience for teens. We invited thousands of parents worldwide to share their feedback with us, helping us shape changes and ensure our efforts to align with their expectations. These are significant updates, and we want to take time to get it right. Updated content settings will start rolling out to teen accounts in the US, UK, Australia, and Canada today, and will be fully rolled out at the end of the year. So that was, he posted that 1 week ago. So yeah. Good. Absolutely. Children on social media, honestly, I don't have kids, but I don't think kids need to be on social media. Not really. Like, once you turn 18, have at it. That's all. That's your decision. You're an adult at that point. Fine, whatever. But as long as the parents are responsible, fine, whatever. And I'm glad that Meta on this side of it is taking, and I've heard Adam Mosseri, creator, founder, whatever of Instagram, the guy that runs Instagram, he's not probably the founder, but the guy that runs Instagram currently, I follow him on Instagram, and I watch a lot of his, like, Friday updates or Thursday updates or whatever updates he does about what's going on with new features on Instagram. And I heard him talk about this and said kind of the same thing. Like, he's a parent of kids and little kids, I think, and whatever. But, like, hey, if they're doing the right thing, that's fine by me, you know. And I don't know. I just don't. You're the parent between the two of us. What are your thoughts?
So, I mean, I don't let my kids on social media, period.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have accounts, nor will they.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's a detriment to their development.
Okay.
Like, honestly, I would dump social media, but I kind of need it for my job and for, like, I would love to just get rid of social media. Like, I don't, it's not even that I am like, oh, you old curmudgeon, you hate social media, you hate being social with people. It's like, no, I'm, it's more so I just am to this point where there's a lot of good.
You don't want the noise. That's what you don't want.
Anymore. It's just too much. There's too much crap constantly going on, and everybody is focusing on the bad.
Yeah.
Everybody. Yep. And that's why I'm more interested in, you know, like doing the Discord servers or, I don't know. I'm just more a fan of the old style, like, oh, you want to be a part of a community, join the forums, or, you know.
Yeah. Well, and Discord has kind of become our new forums. We're over there. We're on the GCR and Discord and stuff like that. And I agree with you. For me, it's more like I go on social media, like specifically Twitter and Blue Sky. I go on there. I post what I want to post maybe once or twice or three times a day that is not podcast episode release related on my personal accounts. And I'll post this or I'll post that or I'll post a photo or I'll post a whatever or I'll like something we'll talk about here in a little bit. Like, what are you watching now? Oh, I just saw this trailer or that trailer. Oh my God, I can't wait to see this movie or that movie or whatever kind of thing. And then I'll check my notifications to see if anybody replied to me or if anybody did anything to whatever, anybody said anything, whatever, any conversations. Nope, no conversations. Okay, I'm out. And I close Twitter and Blue Sky. I don't stay on Twitter as much as I used to. I don't stay on Blue Sky. Like, and Blue Sky was I was never going to leave Twitter. I put too much into Twitter. But I still wanted to check out Blue Sky when it debuted. I was curious. Matrix Prime sent me a code. I was like, okay, fine, I'll join. And that was the only one I was going to join. Out of all the social media networks that popped up at that time, was a couple of years ago, whatever. It was Blue Sky. It was Mastodon. It was this. It was that. It was your uncle. It was whatever. It was like 30 other ones that tried to pop up when everybody was exiting Twitter. I was like, but I've put too much work into this. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, and that's kind of my boat is like, I put way too much into Twitter the years that I'm just not dumping it.
Back? Yeah. Am I going to go back 16 years to see what I posted 16 years ago on Twitter? No, I only do that on Facebook because Facebook shows me that shit. But it's one of those things where, like, in Facebook, same thing. I'm not on, like, I go on Facebook in a total of the time that I'm awake in a 24-hour day. I go on Facebook anywhere from 1 to 12 times per day. If I'm awake at midnight, I'll go on at midnight because that's usually when I do the memories thing. I like to get that crap done early and just leave it and whatever. And then when I wake up later in the morning, I'll check it and then I'll leave it. And then I'll check it sometime later in the afternoon, early in the afternoon, just to see if anything new has happened or anything with the section of, because again, you talk about social media, talk about segmented audiences versus segregated audiences, because I shouldn't be using the segmented audiences. Twitter is an audience. Instagram is an audience. YouTube is an audience. Blue Sky is an audience. Discord is an audience. Facebook is an audience. They're all different. I don't have not all. We don't have all the same people in all the same places. This isn't a foreign land where there's one social media network for everything, because there are countries that have one social media network for everything. But I'm not, I don't find myself on it just to be on it. Whereas when I first started on stuff, 2008, 2009, 2010, I was on there carrying on conversations with just random, hey, new friend, how are you? Oh, you like this? I like this too. Let's talk about this. And it wasn't just you. It was like other people that have never been on a podcast we've ever recorded. Just random people. And it was like a once or twice a day thing. And again, the other thing that switched for me with Twitter is, but this is before the evil cologne empire started. They got rid of third-party apps, which means they got rid of TweetDeck, which was the most unique and instrumental way to organize your Twitter.
Oh, I concur.
Like, what? And so they got rid of it, and then they bought it. And then they integrated it, and then they got rid of it again. I don't even think it's still around now.
Well, it technically is, but you have to pay to use it.
Oh, well, then no. Sorry, not sorry. As much as I miss it, I'm not, again, like I've already said in this episode, I'm not on it enough to warrant to pay for a service that used to be free.
Yeah. Anyways, that's why I don't participate in it.
Social media, folks, don't let your kids be on it unless they ask to be on it, unless they say, oh hey mom, or oh hey dad, I met, like, let's say you got little Cheetor over here and little Cheetor was at school and he met little Rhinox and they have their hatred of little Scorponok and little Waspinator, whatever kind of thing. And, you know, it's a playground bully, not bully thing, but it's a playground rivalry thing is what I meant to say. And little Cheetor and little Rhinox want to have Instagram chats together or something, or they want to have whatever. So as long as a parent, you're monitoring that, as long as you're on top of it, as long as, you know, the filters are doing what they're supposed to do, sure, fine. But at the end of the day, I still say kids don't need social media until they're 18.
No.
And if then, and even then, you shouldn't have it unless you absolutely feel like you're, it's. Ah,
so, and this is something I've noticed is, like, kids are so fried nowadays between social media and consistent video games. Like, we had video games back in the day, but the thing was, it either saved where you were or it gave you a code to get back to where you were.
Yep.
Or you just didn't turn the machine off and left it running 24/7 until you had time to go back to it. Yep. Nowadays, like, everything is constantly, like, I hate games that are connected to the internet to play solo. Like, I absolutely hate it. Like, I hate the fact that my games have to check in.
Yep.
To play them. Like, Star Trek Online, okay, it's a massive multiplayer RPG that's online. Okay.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm not happy about it because, like, I have enough of the single player part. Like, I never play with other people.
Yeah.
I did, like, the first 2 years I played it, but, I haven't done that in years. I prefer to just play the stinking game and, you know, when new stories come out.
Yeah.
And then, like, the Dragon Ball Z game, Dragon Ball Sparking Zero. Quite honestly, there's no reason why you have to be connected to the internet to play it.
Right.
I mean, they have features that you can play against other people, but honestly, it just, I don't care. Like, I want to play the story and I want to battle it out. Not a lot to go on. And the old Dragon Ball games are kind of crap by comparison, just movement and everything else. So like that kind of bothers me. Like there was like Battlefield, like, yeah, I played that online. I never played the single player, so I didn't care about that. But like I would play a Diablo 3 back in the day and Diablo 2, and those were like, oh, you got to have online access. And I'm like, I don't want to play online. I played the single player. Like literally, I don't care. And yeah, it's kind of the case with a lot of games anymore. And I don't feel the need for it. Like I miss the days of just getting a demo, trying the game. Okay, I like it. I'm going to buy the game, get the disc. Well, they're like, oh, no discs. You're going to install it. Oh, wait, it's locked to your machine.
Yeah.
Now, I did get, because I have Steam installed, mm-hmm. which is pretty much the only way I play games anymore. Like, I had EA Play for a while. I mean, I still have it, but the only thing I have on there is, like, Battlefield and, like, Mass Effect.
Yeah.
And, again, it still needs to check in. It still needs to do all that. With Steam, I have all the Arkham games. I have, which none of those should have to be online to play.
No, not at this point. Not
the DC Universe Online, still going somehow. Like, I'll occasionally log in and try it out and see what's new and play it, but essentially that game still sucks. Xenoverse, I don't see a reason for it to be online. Sparking Zero, I don't see a reason. Multiverses, which was Warner Brothers' attempt at doing a Smash Brothers.
Yep.
They discontinued it in May. So it never took off. Like it went through the beta. Yeah. I played the beta. And then it disappeared for a while. And then it went in January 31st, 2025. Mm-hmm. They released season 5 of the game. And I was an original adopter. I think I only put like $5 into it because I was like, oh, I want to buy the BTAS Batman because it's got Kevin Conroy as Batman. And it's got, you know, I think it's George Newbern or Tim Daly or whomever.
Superman, yep.
Superman. And then you've got Susan Eisenberg as Wonder Woman and Tara Strong as
that girl
Harley, and then Mark Hamill is the Joker, and you have all these guys in there. It went free to play. Like they're like, if you already have it downloaded, it's yours for life. Like you get to have it.
Yep.
They're not letting any new people download it, but those of us that had it and were playing it, we actually essentially got the full game for free.
Nice.
So that. They had it nominated like even earlier this year or last year for like nominate them for the Labor of Love because like they weren't going to make any money. Yeah. But I'll occasionally turn that on and play it because it's entertaining. It's like Smash Brothers, but you get to play with like DC properties. Yep. And for that alone, it's fun and you can unlock costumes, but there's no payment, you know, no microtransactions because everything's built into the game now at this point.
Very cool. Very cool.
So, but I mean, and that's kind of what I'm getting at is like, I don't let my kids play a lot of video games. I'll occasionally play them as like a wind down thing, but between like the podcast and everything else I'm trying to get done that I have limited time for.
Yeah.
Most of the time I don't play a game. And if I do, I'll play like 30 minutes or so. I might play Smash Brothers. I might play War for Cybertron, Fall of Cybertron, Multiverses, Battlefield 1 or 4, one of the Arkham games, Star Trek Online. Star Trek Online, I'll check in, see if they've done a new episode. If not, like I'll play the episode and then I'll promptly quit.
Yep.
Or I'll play Red Alert 2, Command and Conquer.
Yep.
That's kind of just where I'm at this point is like, I'll do that. But I mean, I don't let my kids play a ton of games or anything. I don't let them watch a lot of crap because it's not only bad for their cognitive ability, but people are even, I saw in a parent group, they were even talking about AI and allowing their kids to use like ChatGPT for like research purposes and stuff.
Yeah, no.
And there were a group of us that were like, no, make them do it the hard way. Make them have to struggle, suffer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's called research.
You want to do research, kid? You go down the hall, you go into dad's closet and you pull out all 26 of his Encyclopedia Britannica. Well,
I don't have the Encyclopedia Britannica, but I mean,
I understand.
Physically go to Wikipedia and do research.
But I'm not saying you specifically. I'm saying as a generalization, I'm saying no, kid, go down the hall. The point is, Encyclopedia Britannica was our research at the time. Go to Wikipedia, go to Google, go to whatever. Don't trust the AI overview at first. At least look at least the bottom three links, or the first three, four, five links you see, kind of thing when you're looking at Google. But
I mean that, and that's kind of my boat. Is like we're even getting to the point that our oldest is going to eventually get a smartphone. So it's becoming how do I lock this down as a parent? How do I, you know, prevent him from getting to things he shouldn't get to? How, you know, and I've been doing a buttload of research and pretty much confirmed what I already knew, which is most of the time when kids get to things that they shouldn't, it's because parents didn't lock it down in the first place.
Yep.
And so, I mean, there are a ton of services that you can, you know, if you don't want to deal with having to do it manually to blocking them to social media or blocking them to games or the app store or media messaging, like for text messages, so they don't get video or pictures.
Yep.
There are services that you can pay for that. Well, you can buy the device, you can pay for the service, and it's heavily locked down. It's already preset. Like it's a no brainer, you know, hands off approach.
Yep.
And then there's the, you know, the people that are more tech savvy, like I have a router.
Yep.
Blocks all kinds of crap. You know, we have, you know, if we get a smartphone, like I use Google infrastructure, like the Android stuff. So we use like Family Link, and I have all of their stuff logged through that and through my own account so that I can police it remotely. Yep. And I can turn things on, off, allow things, disallow things. You know, put time limits, you know, you have it. I can do it in there. Mm-hmm. But there's ways that kids are getting around some of this stuff. And it's because, again, parents don't lock stuff down. They don't lock down the developer tools, or they don't lock down, you know, the ability to sign in another device to that, you know, another account to that device. Like it's all these things that parents don't turn off.
Yeah.
And so kids are like, oh, I can bypass it by doing X, Y, and Z. And it's like, no, it doesn't work that way. I own your device. I paid for it. I'm going to police it until you show you're capable of policing yourself. I have to do it for you.
Yep.
And I mean, I grew up on a flip phone, you know, or, you know, those bricks from like Cricket Wireless or or the Samsung flip phones on Verizon. Yeah. And then eventually the Motorola Razr and LG flip phones. And I still love flip phones. I don't have one.
I had a couple of flip phones.
The Razr was the best.
Yeah. And they brought it back. Motorola has a modern day version of it now. They've had it for a couple of years, but out of all the multifaceted form factory phones, the only one I really wanted to go out of my way to try to find at the time, they don't make it anymore because they don't make phones anymore, but when LG made the Wing, you remember this?
The Wing.
The Wing. I'll find it really quick. When LG made the Wing, they did something really, really cool. And it basically is a phone that flips out, and it's basically two screens kind of thing.
Oh, I found it.
Found it? You see it? Okay. Yeah. So the coolest thing about this is you could do whatever you want horizontally on the top screen, and then you could still have your text or your notifications or whatever you needed on the bottom screen. That was the only like major, oh my God, design, like weird design phone I ever wanted. And I never got it because I wasn't into, like, I wasn't even really into the whole phone market thing at the time. So it is what it is. But like, yeah, no, I miss when phones were fun, which is a series that Mr. Mobile Michael Fisher does.
Well, I mean, you can buy, the Motorola Razr now for like $500.
Yeah.
The new one. And
yeah.
And don't get me wrong. It's still, I would still be tempted for it. Although the appeal of the original is lost on this new one.
Yeah, a little bit.
I say it because the whole beautiful thing about the original was the design. Like the way that it was set up.
Yeah.
And this new one, it's kind of lost on that because it is a smartphone. Like, don't get me wrong, I would probably still get it, except for the fact I'd be worried about the bendable screen breaking.
Mm.
I love the texture design of it and the screen on the one side and then the full screen on the inside. And I would just be worried about it breaking. But I still love the Razr. The original one was, I would still love that phone today if I could use it. Unfortunately, you need a smartphone for just about everything nowadays. But moving on.
Yes, MTV. MTV. Oh boy, MTV. Oh, MTV is dead, folks. MTV is dead. Music television. Paramount Global has developed. I was looking. This is published 2 weeks ago. So Paramount Global has delivered a devastating blow to music fans worldwide, announcing the permanent shutdown of five iconic MTV music channels by December 31st, 2025, according to the BBC. For 44 years, MTV has been a cultural juggernaut, shaping youth culture, launching musical careers, and defining how generations consumed music, fashion, pop culture, yada, yada, yada. The affected channels are MTV Music, MTV 80s, MTV 90s, all the good stuff, Club MTV, and MTV Live have long served as cherished hubs for music video culture across Europe and beyond. MTV Music, the flagship destination for music videos, has been a go-to for fans seeking the latest hits. MTV 80s and 90s transported viewers back to the eras of synth pop, hair metal and grunge, and bubblegum pop, offering nostalgic. The shutdown will begin in the United Kingdom and Ireland, with plans to phase out the channels in the continental Europe and other international markets shortly after, while the main MTV channel will continue to operate. Its focus has shifted dramatically in recent years. Yeah, no reality crap. Once a music video powerhouse, it now leans heavily into reality crap, like Catfish and The Challenge, and leaving little room for the music content that defined its legacy. Okay. 81 to 2025, so just over 40 years of music television. It is so sad.
Well, they should have just stuck with music.
Yep. No doubt.
No doubt.
And then finally, we have something I found. It's from The Verge, but I found it recently because I just end up doom scrolling a lot of places. But YouTube apparently will now help you quit watching shorts. I thought that was the whole point of introducing shorts, is to have us be on the platform doom scrolling for hours. And I thought that was the point. YouTube has added a new shorts feature that makes it easier to manage how much time you're spending watching videos. Mobile users can now set a customizable daily limit that restricts how long they can scroll shorts feeds, aiming to help viewers better manage their time instead of endlessly scrolling. When a user reaches their time limit, they will receive a notification saying shorts has been paused for the day. This notification is dismissible, however, so it's on the user to honor these self-imposed restrictions. Instagram and TikTok both provide similar optional screen time limits, though TikTok is the only service that expands this to web users. Okay. And it goes on to say, shorts are a core part of the YouTube experience, YouTube said in its announcement. Setting a scrolling time limit on the shorts feed allows this explanation while helping users be more deliberate about their viewing habits and manage their time effectively. I get it. You want to help people manage their time and whatever. And as someone who has gotten into doom scrolling YouTube shorts and Instagram reels, I maybe spend half hour a day, maybe an hour a day doing that. If I can't sleep in the middle of the night and I don't want to get up to actually be productive, like if I'm still half asleep kind of thing, I will do it. Might be longer than a half hour or an hour. But I think it's a good idea, but the fact that it says in the article that it actually ends up being, you know, the user has to abide by, oh, your daily time limit is up. Okay, I'm going to put my phone down now and go away and do something more, you know, productive with my time. That's on the user. That's on the human. That's not on YouTube. I don't know.
Well, it's kind of funny because they created that culture.
Yeah, that's my whole point in bringing this up. Yes, absolutely.
It's like you're complaining about people doing what they're doing, but it's like you also made the culture what it is. Mm-hmm. Like you caused this.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. Absolutely, they did. It's their own fault. And now they're trying to
backpedal.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh my God, we have so many people on our servers. We have so many people on our thing. We can't do this anymore, Captain. We just don't have the power. Oh God. It's so stupid. So stupid. I mean, I applaud them for, again, wanting to help us manage our time better. But, like, I don't know. I've already said. How often do you doom scroll anything? You're not.
Depends on the time of day.
Okay, well, when you're doom scrolling, how long are you usually doing it for?
10 minutes at a time.
See, folks, he does it less than I do it.
I mean, it really depends. And it has to be, too, like something that I find interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. Well, that's the thing. Like, when I say doom scrolling, I'm not scrolling through and watching everything. I literally mean doom scrolling. I'm trying to find something to watch. Kind of like cable.
So moving on.
Yes.
You brought up the one video about the cafe.
Yeah, the technology in public is confusing. Yeah, so there was... Oh, God, I want to get the credit right. Who is this? Because I'm not clicking on the link. I'm scrolling up. And I'm hesitant. God, this was so long ago. Wow, we really haven't done a podcast, folks, in so long that this is so long ago. There's the Gen X tech. Where are you? Okay, come on, really? I don't know. There we go. Here it is. In the videos, Dylan Palladino. Hopefully, I said your name right, Dylan. But Dylan Palladino on Instagram is the real, or is the link that we have here. And he goes into a cafe with a laptop. And one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this up is that I remember back in the early days of GCRN, when we were just getting started, we used to hang out with Steve Saylor a lot. And Steve used to be one of these guys that would bring his laptop to cafes, because that's how Steve writes. At least that's how he used to write. I don't know how he does it now. But at least back in those days when he was writing, he would go to a cafe or a coffee shop or whatever, and he would sit down, put his earbuds in or whatever, and he would drink his coffee and sit there and write. So this Dylan guy goes into this coffee shop and has his laptop and, "Oh, sir, we want everybody to unplug here." He's like, "Okay, sure. I can abide by that." He unplugs, he sits there just waiting for his coffee and looking around. He's by himself. He's not with anybody else. And apparently everybody got freaked out because he was just sitting there looking around, even though he was sitting at his own table. It wasn't like he was standing in the corner. It wasn't like he was standing behind anybody or anything like that. He was at his own table. "Oh, sir, you can use your phone. You can pull your phone out." "Huh? What? You can't use a laptop, but it's a laptop-free cafe, but it's not a phone-free cafe? Technology is confusing in 2025. Thoughts?"
No, I think culture is getting way too weird. It's like, either don't have the electronics in the place, or have them, but don't sit there and freak out for people that are people watching because you told them to get off of their laptop. It's like, maybe they have other things to do that you can't do on a phone.
Yeah, exactly. It's just so silly. And I don't know. Like, and the other thing about, like, everybody now pays with their, like, the phone has become everything. The phone has become literally every, it's a phone, even though we don't use it for that, because don't call me, text me. You know, but it's one of those things where it's a phone, it's a text messaging thing, it's an instant messaging thing with whatever instant messaging thing you use. It's an internet device. It's a gaming device. It's a technically a mobile computer. It's a World Wide Web thing. And now you can pay for everything. Here, just tap it or swipe it or blah, 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 or put your phone screen up to this screen. You know, I remember 1989 when I was 9 years old wondering where technology was going to be. 10 years from then, in 1999. By the time we got to 1999, I'm like, well, technology has come a long way, but not as long as I thought it would go. And here we are, you know, 26 years later in 2025, and I'm like, oh, God. Oh, boy, technology. It's a nice tool to have, but the culture surrounding it just sucks these days.
I agree.
So, yeah, so there's that. And then what was the other thing? Oh, yeah, the other thing. The old movies are now streamers' moneymakers. You want to talk about this?
I was going to save it for next one.
Oh, okay. Well, we can save that, and we can save the other stuff, too, then. That's fine.
Sounds good. I think next episode we'll focus on the old movies and television are now streamers' moneymakers. And then some of the shows that we're watching. That way we can kind of get a little bit of an update that's not necessarily news-centric.
There you go. No news next time, just topics.
Ha. Exactly.
There you go.
So, if you like what you hear on the podcast, subscribe on your various favorite podcast platform. And, of course, check out Altered Geek there. You can also comment on the episode post on geekcastradio.com or comment on Facebook. Otherwise, you can catch Mike and I on pretty much everything on Geekcast Radio right now.
Yep, pretty much.
And interact with us there on the website and on our Discord channel. If you need the link for that, it will be in the episode show notes as well as on the top of the website and the bottom. With the different social icons. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
From classic icons to new sci-fi dreams, with every episode we'll unravel the themes. Let's geek out and laugh, keep the spirits high. Together we'll journey, reaching for the sky. Discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Alter Geek Podcast, remember the name.